Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, you guys can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and just hold your place there for just a second. Philippians 4, 6. Now, we're going to get to that here in just a second, but I want to start off with one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, and that is in Genesis 3, 9. You don't have to turn there. Just hold your place to the other place. Genesis 3, 9, and it's in the Garden of Eden, and it's after Adam and Eve have sinned, and it says, "The Lord God called to Adam," hence my favorite scripture, "The Lord God called to Adam, 'Where are you?'" It's one of the drawbacks of having biblical names for your kids when you name your kids. It's really weird when Adam caused the entire world to fall into sin and darkness. Those weird things every time I hear it. But the Lord God called Adam, "Where are you? Where are you?" I love that verse. I love that verse. We are halfway through the year of a holy generation, and where are you? It's a constant reminder of where I am and what I'm doing. Where are you? The Word of God is amazing. It calls us back to what we need to be doing every time. If you guys will look down at Philippians 4, 6 and 7, why don't you read along with me here? "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God which exceeds." Isn't that good? It's straightforward. It's very simple. Don't worry about anything. There's a lot of things to worry about. I don't know if you know that. There's tons of things that you could be worried about. Don't worry about anything. The next part is even harder. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. You can listen to scripture in your head. You can hear in a sermon. You can replay it. It will totally change your attitude if you allow it to. Your demeanor. You have to let it. You have to let it sink in. God's word is truth. And when you see truth, you are ultimately given a choice at that moment. You're given a choice right at that moment. You can choose to accept that truth and allow God to do a work in you, or you can choose to cling to the emotion of the moment, whether it be fear or worry or pride or whatever it is, or I've heard it 1,000 times, boredom, anything, whatever that you can cling to the emotion of the moment, you can forsake the truth for a lie and live in what you know is not right, what you know is not true. I love that about God's word, though. It gives you that opportunity to choose every time you hear it. Right now, don't worry about anything. There are tons of things that are going on this week for each and every one of you. We wouldn't have time for you to tell us what was going to happen. If we marched everybody up here to say three things that are going to happen over the next few days of this week, we don't have enough time. Everybody has something that they could be thinking about. But right now, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Let God's word do something in you. Now, honestly, I was the kid growing up who was always sitting on the sidelines watching other people do what they were doing. I was a watcher. And I was young, so it wasn't creepy. But I would watch other people do. Okay, it might have been creepy. I don't know. I watched what other people did, and I wanted to know if it was going to work or not before I tried anything. God's word, it won't let you get comfortable and just watch and see what will happen. You have to make a choice. And the problem was, growing up, I was always content to just help other people get to where they were going. I'm okay letting you know how you can work on what you need to work on. I'll help you get there. I'll serve. I'll point some things out in your life. I was always willing to be helpful. But you can let yourself fall by the wayside when you get caught up in everybody else's stuff that's going on all the time. And you can have your own problems going on that I had the wrong view of who God made me to be. And you can be thinking, or some people can be thinking, that serving other people all the time is not that bad, but it's not balanced. I know what that leads to. I found the results of the fearful perspective that I have, because it wasn't out of faith I'm going to go out and this is my mission and my calling. It was out of fear that if I went and tried that, it probably wouldn't work. And we can't allow that to happen. There are attacks that come all the time that try and steal away what God's word is having us do. But the truth is that you cannot help someone get to where you have not been. You can't help someone get somewhere that you have never been. You're not going to, if I was to say, let's all get together and let's put together a trip and we're all going to go skiing this winter. I love skiing. But if I was trying to lead that and had never gone, never seen anything what it was about, didn't know anything about what it cost, if I had never been before, I wouldn't want you to follow me. You can't lead people where you have not been. You have to walk out the faith that you want to reproduce. You have to desire to learn if you want your kids to desire to learn. I'm done with it. But we always jump the gun on things like that. I've worked with countless teenagers that they're ready to be done with school. They never want to think about school again because it's been a month and they're done with school. Like it's never going to come back and they're not going to have to. You have to overcome your addictions before you can help others get out of theirs. And I'm not talking about the really bad ones, though you do have to overcome those. All of us are addicted to something. We have a habit-forming, pattern-forming, addiction-forming personalities. It's in our human nature. We like to go with what's comfortable, or we like to go with what's always new. However you work that in there, you can become addicted to the way you do your life. And it can be wrong. Matthew 7:5 says, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. I had a nickname when I was at Hot Springs at our church down there. It was Green Bean. It's not a well thought out nickname. One of the life group leaders there gave me the name after he found out that I wouldn't eat green beans. I refused, or really any vegetable for that matter. I just wasn't going to eat it. And he called me Green Bean for years. And it was kind of annoying. And if you're listening to this, Ward, I'm sorry. But it kind of helped. Like, I was like, I probably need to do something about that. It's not normal to not eat vegetables. For some of you diehard carnivores out there, you're like, yes, it is. It's normal for you not to eat vegetables. All we need is meat and potatoes. I got an amen. But I thought, I probably need to do something about this, and I told him that I was going to change. I wasn't going to pass this on to my children. I was not forced to try new things. I was just allowed to eat whatever I wanted. I was never told, you need to try things. And by that, I don't mean that I forced my son to do something the first time. I was like, I decided before he was born. One of my first thoughts after we got pregnant the first time, I was like, all right, I got to start learning to eat vegetables. I know that's weird, but I needed to overcome that. I didn't want him thinking, seeing dad do something weird while he's trying to choke down his vegetables, and then, I don't like these, Mom. I wasn't going to do that. And my son loves trying all kinds of food all the time. He wants to go back to the new Chinese place so he can have some more squid. He loves it. And I realized what I'd created when I was there the last time and he had tentacles poking out of his mouth. And she's like, this is so good. It's like, all right, manners. I got rid of that nickname before I left down there because he tried to call me Green Bean. I was like, no, you can't call me that anymore. I like them. I like them. My wife will tell you to this day, I am mad now when they don't have green beans to serve to go with my chicken fried chicken at Corner Cafe. I'm frustrated. It is my favorite side dish now. This is a really funny example of how when you're presented with a moment where you're given truth, you can change. You can pair up. I probably did quite a bit of praying beneath my breath while I was trying to learn how to eat vegetables. Like, oh Lord, please bless this food and don't let it kill me. Help it not taste like peanut butter and dirt. That's peas. I haven't overcome peas yet. Okay, sorry. I didn't like vegetables because I didn't eat vegetables. The same thing was true for reading. I didn't like reading. I used to hate it. You know why? Because I didn't read. People that don't like reading, it's because you don't read. The same is true for prayer. You know, the more you read, the more you'll read. And the more you pray, the more you'll pray. It's really you're developing the right appetites for your life. The more you love, the more you'll love. God gave us his word to motivate us, to teach us, to act as a mirror, to show us where we are. Genesis 3:9, Adam, where are you? Where are you right now? Church, where are you? Where am I? We're halfway through the year. Where are we? I want to try and create a moment tonight for you to make a choice. And the thing about these choices that we have here are that most of the time, as soon as you make a choice, or before you make a choice, your emotions get involved and they try and mess everything up. We get caught up in the moment, whatever the fear is, or the worry, or the pride, and I'm going to do this my way. We get swamped up in doing the good deeds that are on our list. We have our list that we're going to make happen, and we're going to be stuck to that thing, and you could miss what God's trying to do while you're busy with your list. Our emotions really try and get in the way. And sometimes when God's word doesn't motivate us to action, he'll use somebody around us. He'll use a song. He'll use something that you read, a commercial. It'll be the weirdest stuff. Has anybody ever had your child? No way my daughter at 2.5 years old should have been saying to me what she was saying to me. And I was like, oh. Thanks, honey. God, I need to change what I was doing right there. That wasn't right at all. However it was, and not awful sin, just wrong thinking, wrong way of doing things. Your life is important to God. It has eternal significance. And it's more than you realize. Why? One major reason here. God can see the lives that you are affecting every single day. We often can't. You probably could name off people that meant a whole lot to you in your Christian walk that didn't say more than a few sentences. I can name off half a dozen people real quick right now that if I were to go and tell them all that what they did meant to me, they'd be in tears. Because they had no idea that their little whatever that they were doing meant that much to me. And that's who you are every single day. As a Christian, God is using everything you do, everything you don't do, to affect the people around you. And I want to get into a topic to start it tonight and to work through it again next week that is one of the most covert attacks that the devil has against Christians. And that attack is apathy. Apathy. Indifference. Lack of concern. Lack of interest. Laziness. Boredom. Exhaustion. It is easy to get apathetic today. because there is so much to care about. Have you ever tried to get on social media and really legitimately care about everything that was posted on there? Just a swath of things that are out there, and some of them highly important, some of them moderately important, some of them don't matter at all except to the person that's saying something about it, to apathy. The amount of information that we have coming in all the time, somebody attacked so-and-so, somebody died again, somebody did this, somebody killed somebody, somebody did this. It is hard to pull yourself out of all of the information and make that personal connection again. Apathy slips through a cracked door and takes a seat on the couch like it belongs there. Sneaks in. He makes you think that you need to take a load off. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Don't worry about that right now. Come have a seat here with me. Can't you see you need a break? You're spent. Look at the, is that a notification on your phone? Again? Oh, there's another one. Look, there's another one. We can't give in to those feelings. Our emotions aren't meant to run our lives. Stress, depression, exhaustion, lost in the moment, daydreaming, no purpose, none of those are what God has given us. Power, love, a sound mind. But apathy isn't blatant. It's not out there. It sneaks in. Apathy is a choice not to choose. Why is the enemy trying to take you out? Where you're at. Okay, for everybody in here who is under the age of 30, why is the enemy trying to take you out? Well, I'll tell you. At your age, under 30, and this is broad, I guess, but you have a zeal and a passion for life and for worship and for, you have an excitement about you. Everything is new. Everything is different. There are many times that you can operate on less sleep. Now, it's not always for the right reasons, but you can do it if you could channel that in the right way. You aren't set in your ways yet. You're still moldable. There are dozens of reasons the enemy wants your summer to be boring. He wants you to be glued to whatever screen you have. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go floating. We're going to go driving. We're going to go watching. We're going to go singing. We're going to go buying. We're going to sell. We're going to go hobbies. We got this. We got that. Don't give in. There is a reason the enemy wants to take you out, because you have more freedom right now this summer to affect the people around you than you did when you were in school, or than you did when you had a different kind of job, when you were in college. However it is, you have more opportunity now than you had when you were doing other things. Don't waste those opportunities. Use that excitement. Make something happen with that. Now, for us older ones, and I am now in the older ones category. Oof. It's been 16 years since I graduated high school. This is getting weird. The older you get, the more experience you have at overcoming. You know where to find the answers. You may not know the answer, but you know how to get an answer to whatever it is. We know the power of a mentor. To have somebody over you. We know the effects of good habits that we form. We know the effects of bad habits that we got to break. The enemy wants separation between us and the younger crowd. And we can't give in. We're called to build God's kingdom, to make disciples. We're called to pass on what we've learned. That's why the enemy attacks us with apathy, wherever you're at, whatever category you fall into, playing on the emotion of the moment. God is stronger than that. He's stronger than that. He has a reason for you to be here. He has a purpose for your life here. And we have to surrender to the Lord and His will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. In my country. In my city. In my home. In my personal life. Your kingdom come, your will be done in me, through me. Here, today, tomorrow, God come into each one of us. Now, this message is meant to be motivating, but a sermon is not enough to keep motivation going. That's why we keep coming back for them. A motivating message will only take you so far. God wants us to go beyond a Wednesday night sermon. And you can think, or we can think, that we're exempt from the allures of apathy just because we go to Wednesday night church. But one of my desire tonight and next week is to bring light to some areas of our life that we need to take a look at and get a change happening, to make a choice about. What are some areas of your life that you need to let go, that you need to work through personally? Genesis 3:9, where are you? What are you doing? What did you do today? What did you do this week? Could God be doing more through you than He is? Are there some opportunities that are coming your way that look promising? We have to stop and we have to think and we have to ask and pray, God, what do you have for me? You're about to have some opportunities as soon as we finish here in just a couple minutes. Opportunities, some appointments. We're going to dismiss and we're all going to talk and we're all going to share. And some people are going to be honest, and some people are hiding. Some people are carrying heavy hearts. Some people are just hungry because they wait till after to eat dinner. Some are purposed and looking forward to what comes next. They're excited about what's next in their life, and they're looking for somebody to support them. Don't be satisfied with your relationship with God. Don't be satisfied with your level of influence that you have right now. But be content knowing that as long as you're seeking Him with your whole heart every day, that He's going to lead you and guide you. Matthew 22:37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want to really get into apathy next week specifically, but right now you have an opportunity. Don't give in to apathy. Don't give in to the monotony. Let's make a choice right now to overcome. Amen?
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.